Psalm 110, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand, until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. In the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning, thou hast the dew of thy youth. The Lord hath sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. The Lord at thy right hand shall strike through kings in the day of his wrath. He shall judge among the heathen. He shall fill the places with the dead bodies. He shall wound the heads over many countries. He shall drink of the brook in the way. Therefore shall he lift up the head. The verse 5, the first part of it, is the verse that I leave with you this evening. The phrase, the Lord at thy right hand. The Lord at thy right hand. The Lord here is Messiah. We know that is the case because in the word is, you'll notice it's small case letters. The word Lord is not in block capitals as in verse 1. In verse 1, the Lord, and that's in capitals, that means Jehovah. Jehovah said unto my Lord, and my Lord there is Adonai, and that is Christ. We saw that several weeks ago. And so whenever the psalmist uses the word Adonai again, the word Lord in small case letters, as our translators have put it, the Lord at thy right hand, he's speaking about the Savior. There's no question about that. He's speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ. So that the things that are alluded to in verses 5 to 7 about this Lord striking through kings in the day of his wrath and judging among the heathen and filling the places with dead bodies, so on and so forth, those are things that the Lord Jesus Christ will do in the day of his wrath. And he's the one who's going to carry out these things. And we'll see what those things are next week. There is no difficulty about who the words are about. But what I consider with you tonight is the one to whom the words are addressed. The one to whom the words are addressed. The Lord at thy right hand. Who is the psalmist addressing? Who is the psalmist speaking to? Who is that thy? Now, I think most of the commentators will say that the Father is addressed. The Father is addressed. Most of the commentators will probably say that. And they would refer you to verse 1. And the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand. So Christ is at the Father's right hand, and the commentators would say that whenever this one is addressed, the Lord at thy right hand, it very evidently is the Father that is addressed. And if that's the case, the truth of these verses and the interpretation of these verses is none changed from the way I'm going to take it up. Is it not better to look upon the willing people or the church body as that body which is addressed here? Could we not say that this is a word directly addressed to the people of God? Could we not say that this is a word directly addressed to the saint? And so when the Holy Spirit turns the verse around and he says, the Lord at thy right hand, at the saint's right hand, at the believer's right hand, at the right hand of this willing people who have been saved in the day of power. The Lord at thy right hand will strike through kings in the day of his wrath. Is it not better to address this word to the saint and to the church, to the believer? It is true that only the right hand of the Father is referred to in the text, and there is no reference to the right hand of the believer at all. But you will notice in the psalm previous to this psalm, and the very last verse, "For he shall stand at the right hand of the poor, to save him from those that condemn his soul." So in the very same area of the psalm, by no accident, the right hand of the believer, the right hand of the poor child of God, condemned and attacked by the world, the flesh, and the devil, that the Lord is standing at the right hand of the child of God to save him from those that condemn his soul. And is it not true that while the Father does not have to be addressed in these verses 5-7, the believer does? This is something the believer needs to know. The Father doesn't need to know this. There is no need to convey this information to the Father, but this information needs to be conveyed to us. It needs to be conveyed to us, the church today, facing all the enemies of the gospel and all the foes and all the scoffers. It is we that need to know the Lord is at our right hand as we live in this wicked world. And one day, in the day of his wrath, he'll come back again and he'll strike through kings and he'll overthrow the heads of many nations. So on and so forth. And so after reminding us particularly of Christ's priestly office, we are particularly told that that priest, that prophet, and that king is not only at the right hand of the Father, but he is at our right hand. At the right hand of the Christian. At the right hand of the child of God. At the right hand of his people as a body and his people individually as saints. And so I take the phrase that way, and my subject tonight is the Saviour at the saints' right hand. The Lord at thy right hand. That's where he is, child of God. Yes, he is at the right hand of the Father, but the truth of the text tonight is he's also at your right hand. And so I leave three thoughts with you in relation to this. First of all, the prominence of this truth in Scripture that the Lord is at our right hand. And then secondly, the picture of this truth in the psalm. And then thirdly, the purposes for which Jesus takes up that place at our own right hand. First of all, the prominence of this truth in the Scripture. Perhaps you say to me tonight, well, preacher, that's going a bit too far to base your sermon on this text when there's a very distinct possibility that the only right hand referred to here is the right hand of the Father. And my going too far might be the case if this were not a truth abundantly taught in the Word of God. We looked at Psalm 109, verse 31. He shall stand at the right hand of the poor. But there are many other references. Psalm 16, for example, and verse 8. The psalmist David says, I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. So David, who later on said that Jesus, his Messiah, his Lord, is at the right hand of the Father, also says, he's at my right hand, and I'll not be moved. And then Psalm 121, and the verse 5, we read there, the Lord is thy keeper, the Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. He's a shade upon thy right hand. He's at thy side, and he's covering thee at thy right hand. And so we read of it there. And then that portion of Scripture, you may have observed it, that we read from Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 41 and the verse 13, for I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand. So the Lord is at our side, holding our right hand. I'll be there, he says, to hold your right hand. And there are other phrases of a similar nature throughout the Word of God. For example, Paul says, the Lord is at hand. He's near. He's by your side. The prophet said, he is near that justifieth me. The psalmist said, thou art near, O Lord, the Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. Jeremiah said, the Lord is with me as a mighty terrible one. He's near me. He's with me. The Lord says, I am with thee. I will never leave thee or forsake thee. You'll remember in Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 16 and 17, Paul relates how that nobody stood with him when he was at court. All men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. Yes, all did leave me, and I was on my own, but I wasn't on my own because the Lord was with me. He was at my right hand. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. So this truth is abundant throughout Scripture. It's prominent in the Word of God. The Lord at thy right hand, child of God. The Lord at the right hand of the congregation. The Lord at the right hand of the church. As it goes through this wilderness world, surrounded by all the enemies of the gospel, Jesus isn't just at the right hand of the Father and leaving us down here on our own in the midst of all these enemies. No, he's reigning as well as in heaven in the midst of his enemies at the right hand of the church. So that is a prominent truth in Scripture. His name is Emmanuel, God with us, God near us, God at our right hand. So the prominence of this truth in Scripture, the Lord at thy right hand. But then we want to think more carefully about the picture then that is set forth in this psalm. So let us view the three objects here. Let's see the Father, the glorious Jehovah upon his throne, the one who is mighty in power, the one who utters his voice to Christ. Christ has ascended. Christ has gone up to glory. And the Father says to him, sit thou at my right hand. Be thou a king beside me. And be thou a prophet beside me. And send the rod of your strength out of Zion. And make a willing people. And woo them in the day of your power. And save them by your grace. And illuminate their darkness. And bring them to faith. Yes, and sit there, my son, as a priest. For thou art a priest forever, verse 4, after the order of Melchizedek. So there Jesus is spoken to by the Father, reminded by the Father, thou art king, thou art prophet, thou art priest. And the Father looks to his Christ as he says all these things. And then we see the Savior. At the right hand, indeed, of the Father. We see him there reigning. We see him there seated. We see him there a king upon his throne. We see him as a soul-winning prophet going out by his Spirit to save sinners and to woo them unto the gospel to himself. And we see him there sitting as a priest representing us at the Father's right hand. But then at the right hand, at the right hand of the Savior, there's someone else. It's the believer. It's you and me. At the right hand of the Savior, there is the saint. Now, if we were standing beside the Savior, shoulder to shoulder, looking the same way as the Savior, Christ would be on our left hand. He would be on our left hand. But he's not on our left. He's on our right hand. So the Father is facing us. He's a bit more distant from us. And in between us and him, there is the Savior at his right hand, and then us at our right hand, facing us, and we facing him, is Jesus Christ. His right hand, our right hand, betwixt the Father and us, is the mediator, our king, our prophet, our priest. Yes, he is at the right hand of the Father, but he is also at our right hand, mediating betwixt us, There he is. We are facing him. We are looking to him in the midst of the enemies, in the midst of the world, the flesh of the devil, down here on this world where we have to walk in the midst of these enemies. We view our heavenly Christ at the right hand of God, but also at our right hand. Bless his name. So that's the picture that is set forth in this psalm. And there he stands as our mediator. And we come to the Father through him. And how does he execute his office as mediator there at the Father's right hand and as our right hand? He does it as king. He does it as prophet. And he does it as our great high priest. The Father has placed him there for us, because he loves us. And the Lord Jesus gladly takes up that station for us, because he loves us. And there you and I, the sinner, looking on to Jesus, believing in him, trusting in him, coming to the Father through him, the Lord at Jehovah's right hand, the Lord at thy right hand also. So that's the picture that is evidently set forth here by the Holy Spirit for us, for our comfort, we here that live in the world, in the midst of these heathen and these kings and these ungodly nations, that we are assured one day our Lord is coming back to judge and to deal with. But then lastly, the purposes for which Jesus takes up this place. The purposes for which Jesus takes up this place. What are the instructions? What are the lessons in this truth that the Lord is at thy right hand? It's a powerful, comforting truth, isn't it? He is at thy right hand as a friend. He is at thy right hand who art poor and needy. Psalm 109, verse 31. He shall stand, not sit. Stand at the right hand of the poor to save him from those that condemn his soul. Jesus is the poor man's friend. Jesus is the poor sinner's friend. Jesus is the friend of the helpless. Jesus is the friend of the weak. Jesus is the one standing at the right hand of the poor. Do you say standing? Does the text not say that he sits at the right hand of the Father? Yes, indeed he does. In relation to the Father, in relation to omnipotence, in relation to sovereign power, in relation to the finished work, in relation to the ease with which he judges nations, he sits. But in relation to the poor sinner, and to the one in the battle, and to the one going through the struggle, he stands. He stands by us. He stands with us. He stands beside us. In relation to his needy people, he's a standing Savior. You remember Stephen, whenever he was being battered to death by the stones. And he said, I see Jesus. I see the Son of Man. And what did Stephen say? He says, I see him standing. Yes, it is. I know Psalm 110, that he sits at the right hand of the Father. But I see him standing. He's standing for me, the poor Christian. The poor Christian beset about by the wicked. The poor Christian being battered by the ungodly, for his stand for righteousness and for Jesus Christ. He's standing for me at that right hand, and he's standing at my right hand. Now, there are various ways in which we might consider this standing at our right hand. But let us confine ourselves to the context of the psalm. The Adonai has already been described in his threefold office as king, ruling, as king reigning at the right hand of God, as prophet with the rod of his strength, like Moses bringing out his people out of the bondage of Egypt, and to the heavenly Zion, and is there as priest also for them, a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek, a royal priest, a prophetic priest, a priest upon his throne. So he appears at the right hand of the Father, dressed in these robes of kingship and the mantle of prophetic office and the garments of righteousness which belong to him as a priest. But he also has those garments for us. The Saviour is not a king and a prophet and a priest merely for display. He's not a prophet, king, and priest merely for some fashionable and glorious display in heaven. No, he is these things for us. And the Father has placed him as mediator between himself and us, the sinner, dressed in this array of garments for us. And so he gladly and willingly takes up for us this place in between us and the Father. And he adorns the royal robe, and he dons the prophetic mantle, and he puts on the garments of salvation, and he ever lives to make intercession for us as our great high priest. He wears the ephod of prayer representing us. He waves the rod of strength for us. He is at the right hand of the Father, that he might be at our right hand for us sinners. It's his grace that makes him take up that place. It's his love for sinners that makes him take up that place in glory, not just for display. And so he is at thy right hand, child of God, with his prophetic mantle. The one at thy right hand is a prophet. The one at thy right hand has in his hand the rod of his strength. And by his waving of it, he changes the nature of your heart as hard to a heart of flesh, that he might write upon it the words of his law. He's at your right hand as a prophet to instruct you, your heavenly Moses, to lead you to the heavenly Canaan, to give you the judgments and the statutes and the laws to keep. He's at your right hand, instructing you in the gospel, leading you in the right way, leading you to the holy Zion, teaching you his holy laws, writing his word in your heart. He's at your right hand to teach you. He's at your right hand to instruct you. You know, it's a poor Christian who's not interested in the word of God. It's a poor Christian who is not interested in the instruction of the word. It's a poor Christian indeed who has no desire for the preaching of the word. Because let me tell you this, the one at your right hand is a preacher. The one at your right hand is a prophet. The one at your right hand is a teacher. And he's at your right hand to teach you. And you're a poor Christian if you don't want to be taught. No, Jesus comes to teach us. He comes to teach us by the power and word of the gospel. He comes to make us willing through his truth to follow him and to serve him. He comes to your right hand, constantly reminding you of his love, constantly instructing you concerning his grace. He comes to you instructing you of his saving offices. He comes as prophet to you to point out his priestly office. He comes as prophet to you to point out his kingly office. He comes as prophet to you to assure you of salvation and to assure you that you're on your way to heaven. If you but listen to him in his word, he comes to your right hand to give you his Holy Spirit. He comes by his Spirit to help you and to instruct you in the word. He comes to your right hand and he's always turning you to scripture. He's always turning you to the word of God. And when you cry unto him and say, Lord, what shall I do? And what's the way to take? And how do I know the path wherein to walk? At your right hand he says to you, go to the scriptures, go to the word of God, constantly pointing us to the book of God. He's at thy right hand, child of God, feeding you through his under shepherds. He's at thy right hand, bringing thee constantly under the word of God. Psalm 16. The psalmist says, because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. I'll not be moved. Are you a stable Christian? Are you an established Christian? Are you a Christian well rooted in the truth? And if you are, you know why you are well rooted in the truth? Because you have Jesus at your right hand, your prophet teaching you. He's at my right hand. I'll not be moved. I'll be no reed shaken about with the wind. I'll not be blown away with the errors of false doctrine. No, he's at my right hand. I'll not be deceived by the delusions all round about that are drowning many in perdition. Why? Because he's at my right hand. He teaches me. He shows me the truths of God in which I am established and made stable. He makes me like a tree planted by the rivers of water, delighting in the word of God. I shall not be moved. Because Jesus, their prophet, is at their right hand. They'll not be moved. That's the way it is. He's our prophet, holding our right hand, and letting us not be led away by the errors of the wicked. But not only is he at thy right hand as prophet, he is at thy right hand, child of God, as priest. His priestly righteousness, his atoning sacrifice, he is at thy right hand with the sacrifice of atonement. He is at thy right hand with the ephod of intercession on your behalf. He is at your right hand representing you. This phrase, at thy right hand, you will observe, immediately follows the priestly office. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, the Lord at thy right hand. He is particularly there as a priest. In Psalm 109, verse 31, the great and terrible thing that the child of God does not want is condemnation. And when we are condemned, who will stand by us? When we are condemned by the world, when we are condemned by the devil, when we are condemned by the law, when we are condemned by our own conscience, who will stand by us? Who will there be to represent us? Who will there be to come at our right side? When we feel like Paul, we're condemned in the court of law, and there's none standing with us, and there's no advocate to take up our case. What have we got? We've got Jesus at our right hand. An advocate with the Father. He shall stand for us. He shall stand at our right hand to save us from all those that condemn us, whether it's the world, whether it's the devil, whether it's the law, whether it's conscience itself. He is there to stand up for us. And so we read John chapter 8, that poor woman, condemned. But Jesus stood by her. I do not condemn thee. Go and sin no more. We stand condemned, but we do not stand alone. Jesus stands with us. And he deals with the condemnation in his priestly robe and in his sacrificial atoning death. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who have him at their right hand to save them. You know, that's the place the devil takes up the right hand. You read about it in Zechariah chapter 3, verse 1. The high priest stood before the Lord, and Satan at his right hand to resist him. Oh yes, the devil would condemn us. The devil would oppose us. But Jesus takes up the place where the devil wants to stand. And so Jesus as priest stands to save us. And that's the office that is in the immediate context in verse 4. If any man sin, how can we come before the Father? How can we look into his face knowing we're sinners? There's one at our right hand betwixt us. It is the Lord Jesus. It is this heavenly Adonai. One pleading, one representing, one in the holy and highest court. We stand helpless, we stand hopeless, but Jesus stands powerful and effectually pleading for us on our behalf. At the Father's right hand, he takes that right hand. At our right hand, he takes our right hand. And our right hand, he, the one between, puts our hand into the right hand of the Father, and we are reconciled. Jesus reconciles us. Because Jesus is at the Father's right hand, and Jesus is at our right hand, and the right hand of fellowship is joined. Because of Jesus, the Lord, at thy right hand, affecting this wonderful and this eternal reconciliation. Are you reconciled to God? If you're not, there's only one way to be reconciled to God, through Jesus Christ. Who you must believe in, who you must come to, who you must trust in, who you must be joined to by faith. But not only is he at the believer's right hand as prophet, not only is he at the believer's right hand as priest, he is also at the believer's right hand as king, reigning and governing. And there are two ways in which he is a king. There are many ways, of course, but there are two that I want to leave with you tonight very quickly. He is at our right hand, first of all, as king for our protection and for our defense. Psalm 121 and the verse 5. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade. Upon thy right hand, the sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee. And so the Lord is at our right hand as a kind of a shade and a shadow, as a kind of a shield and a defense from the heat and from the burning and from the sun and from harm and from anything that would endanger us. He is for us, the Bible says, a shadow in the daytime from the heat. He at our right hand shades us. And where does the greatest heat of all come from? Who is so near to us? Who sits on that holy throne in fiery justice and in burning wrath against sin? Who is the one that we need the most shade from because of our sin? It is a holy God. And there Jesus in between shades us. He's a shade at our right hand. He's the one who allows us to come into the holy presence, to come into the fullness of the holy presence, and yet be not consumed, be not burnt up, be not destroyed by this God who is a consuming fire. Our Jesus is our mediator, our shade at our right hand from the burning rays of fiery justice. Oh, those who have no Jesus must go into that fiery burning oven. They must know that God who is a consuming fire. You know, what's the difference between heaven and hell? What's the difference between heaven and hell? Heaven is in the presence of God and a mediator. And hell is in the presence of God without a mediator. That's the difference between heaven and hell. But Jesus is at our right hand, a shade turning what would be for us undoubted hell into heavenly bliss. Jesus is our hiding place from the wind, a covert from the tempest, the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Under his wings we run and abide. The context of the Psalm 110 is one of battle and strife and conflict. You will see that Jesus is in the midst of his enemies and the church is in the midst of his enemies. And you will see that the Lord at our right hand is a mighty warrior who's going to go forth in the day of his wrath. We'll see that next week. He'll judge among the heathen. He'll fill the places with dead bodies. He'll wound the heads over many countries. He's a king. He's a warrior at our right hand, defending us from all our enemies. He's our great commander general. What did the psalmist say? The Lord is on my side, at my right hand. What shall I fear? What can man do unto me? Child of God, you needn't be afraid of man. You needn't be afraid of what men do to you. You needn't be afraid of what men say about you, because you've won at your right hand. What need you fear? What need I fear? The Lord is on my side. He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Not a shaft can me hit, till the one at my right hand sees fit. Yes, he's at my right hand to defend me, and you too, child of God. But he's not only at our right hand as king to defend us from all our enemies and protect us in our pilgrimage to glory. He's also at our right hand as king to help us in service for him, and in the battle and in the conflict. You see, the right hand is the working hand. The right hand, normally speaking, is the laboring hand, the hand of strength, the hand by which we do anything for anyone, the hand by which we would serve the Lord. How will we ever have an effectual hand? How will we ever have a powerful hand in serving God? How can we serve God in the midst of our enemies? Sometimes our hands hang powerless. We seem so ineffective. We seem so poor servants in his service. We seem so poor warriors in his army. But he is at our right hand, helping that hand. You want to serve the Lord? Well, you've one at your right hand who wants to help you to serve him, and who will empower you to serve him. We read Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah chapter 41 and the verse 13. I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Where is the Lord? He's at your right hand. And your right hand, which feels so powerless, he's at your right hand to hold it up. To hold up the right hand of prayer. To hold up the right hand of labor. To hold up the right hand of giving. To hold up the right hand of encouraging others. He's there to hold that up, saying, fear not, I will help thee. Is it because you feel a worm? Is it because you feel so sinful that you feel powerless to serve the Lord? Fear not. I know you're a worm, Jacob. And ye men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. And he'll so take your hand. Verse 15, I'll make thee a new sharp threshing instrument, having teeth. And thou shalt thresh the mountains and beat them small, and shall make the hills as chaff. Thou shalt fan them, and the wind shall carry them away. This poor worm with his feeble hand, but his hand taken by the hand of the one at his right hand, making his hand into a sharp threshing instrument, going out and doing terrible works. The Lord will help you to serve him. The Lord will empower you to serve him. You will notice verse 10 there, we haven't time to look at all this prophetic scripture, but you'll see in verse 10, there's another right hand. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Do you see that? There are two right hands in this passage of scripture. There's the right hand of the child of God, and there's the right hand of the Lord, and the Lord by his right hand takes the right hand of the child of God. He's at our right hand. He's facing us. He doesn't give us his left hand as one beside us, but he gives us his right hand as one facing us, because we're always looking unto him. He's always our mediator between the Father and us. And that right hand reaches out and takes our right hand, not only reconciling us to the Father, but also empowering us, so that our hand is empowered to serve God in the gospel. The Lord at thy right hand. Ever look to him then. Ever make use of him. Ever call upon him. What a friend we have in Jesus, the Lord, at thy right hand.